Good morning, Lois. One more time. Who knows what's gonna happen today, huh?
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Lois.
We have three ordinances for discussion under old business. Two of them are from my department. First one being an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1, 3, 4, and 6 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and or landscape buffers, site plans and bonding requirements, and to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, Article 3, to add to a provision allowing council to require a forested and or landscape buffer for conditional uses and residential plan communities of single-family or multifamily dwellings. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this ordinance on November 29th of 2007. After a public hearing, the commission discussed this ordinance. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved as presented. The council held public hearing on December 4th of 2007, and we've had several discussions of this ordinance since.
That's an understatement.
Anybody need copies?
No, it's on the.
I got about 15 now.
You got it on the screen.
It's on the screen.
What version? What day?
It's on the screen too.
I think the latest.
And I would refer to Mr. Griffin. As it relates to the amendments of that ordinance.
Smart move, Mark.
Has been amended last week?
Has not been changed since you last saw it 2 weeks ago.
But there was some.
This is called a clean copy though, right? You got the clean copies? You were supposed to get, all right, send them there.
Yeah.
The only member of council that gave me a comment for possible addition was Mr. Rogers, and He suggested that something be added to the part of the ordinance.
I got a clean copy.
To the exceptions, and what Mr. Rogers suggested be added to the exceptions, which appear in subsection I, pages 3 and 4, that paragraph that goes over from 3 to 4 talks about areas where you would not require the forested buffer, and Mr. Rogers said that he was suggesting that we also add language that would say that the forested buffer would also not be required along any part of the perimeter of a subdivision that abutted a river, bay, ocean, or a marsh that would be immediately adjacent to any of those bodies of water.
And that's in here?
It's not.
No, I asked for a change.
Now, where would we plug that in?
It would be plugged in at the end of subsection I. You would just say, or along any part of a subdivision perimeter that abuts a river, bay, ocean, or a marsh abutting any of said bodies of water.
Well, that was the only question would be that, you know, over on the Chesapeake, they do require, because it, you know, tree buffers because the uptake of the nutrients that they don't like are taken up by trees. So there could be a tendency where there could be a nice stand of trees in an area, Lynn, and which are actually
they wouldn't have to tear them down. But I'm saying,
well, it's going to say we're not. You know, if this is the environmentally sensitive district, it's more environmentally sensitive to preserve the trees that are standing in a situation like that, so they don't just end up with views and grass and the fertilizer going right into the marshes or the bay or whatever.
Nothing to stop them from doing.
Right, but in the Chesapeake, nothing what?
I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, what I'm just saying is if that exclusion would actually be degrading to those types of.
Or you could make it say it should not be required to be installed where none presently exists or something like that. You know, so
well, something like that I could understand, but I can see, because I know when they're trying to, some of these guys come into our area and they say you got to cut down every tree so they can get that view of whatever it is they're trying to get, and then all of a sudden we've taken away something that is beneficial, and that's a X amount of distance of trees, and they've done this all around the whole Chesapeake Bay and up the tributaries where it's required.
So, and they're still having major problems over there with the, you know, infiltration of stormwater and stuff.
Barnes,
so I'm just a little concerned about that, and that may come back to bite us. And if it's because a lot of this is in these areas, you're trying to open up our protected areas.
Well, he could put the language like you just said that.
Well, that would be
if it's not there.
That would be better. Any existing trees would remain in areas that are abutting streams, bays, marshes, et cetera, like that, or something like that. Is that, Lynn, is that okay?
Yeah, I was just looking at the you know, you got a lot of natural beauty, like a marsh is next to you, and there a lot of times there's not trees there, and there's not going to be a development next to you is what I mean. Like, there's not going to be a development in a pond. There's not going to be a development in a river or a tributary. So, there, to me, that you know, you didn't need that blockage.
Well, we're not. That's not. Those are visual buffers you're talking about, but there's buffers that also do that are there for other reasons.
Right.
So I'm thinking that this buffer zone covers both those areas, and we ought to not open it up where we're knocking down trees and.
Is this protected existing trees, Lawrence?
It wasn't the way George described it.
The way he just rewrote it, yeah.
The way he just did there.
In a budding.
But it says it's in front of us, it does not.
No, not specifically.
Right.
It would clear it up.
I'm okay with that. Okay.
So, but as it's written in front of us, they can go and clear cut and then.
It could.
And then come back and replant.
Well, a lot of times you get nothing but scrub and.
Yeah, scrub.
Right.
Trees that aren't really. pleasing, but they're still trees, and if you go in and disturbing, you're disturbing the drainage and everything else.
And the scrub has been there for established and is probably more beneficial than some of the trees they bring in.
One of the best drainage methods is trees, naturally, that haven't been disturbed.
Right. I agree.
Well, you leave standing where the ghosts don't eat.
Oh,
so is there any consensus, Mr. Jones, if you could see if there's a consensus to try to bring what Lynn said and I said together and put something that might be appeared to be protecting of those areas?
Mr. Phillips?
At this point, I don't know that my opinion matters.
I've had days like that myself. Mr. Dukes, your opinion count?
No.
No? You're saying
no, I see what they're saying. I mean, I think that there's, people would not want a forested buffer planted right next to water or stream or body of water. You know, they want the they're buying waterfront property for the view. But if there's existing buffer already there, I don't.
We shouldn't be whacking
it
down.
Cutting it down.
Okay, I'm with that.
That's what I say. We've kind of hit the halfway point here, sir.
Are you consensus in Willis?
I don't have a problem with that. I got.
All right.
You got major problems with some of the other crap, dude. They don't have problems with that part.
That's a minor thing.
I think he's okay with us.
Jim, can that be added at this point?
It could be because it's basically.
Okay. Okay.
It could be.
Less restrictive. Not a change.
I think it's less restrictive.
Okay.
It's creating an exception.
Okay.
Otherwise, the boundary would have
been
required.
We'll have to get you some kind of wording, Lawrence, I guess, you know, to how it's going to shake.
I could get that as quickly as you'd like it.
So in that.
I don't know if the majority would like it at all, but I don't, you know. But,
well, then I join Mr. Phillips.
Your opinion doesn't get bad at this point.
Lawrence, has anybody tried to put a dollar figure on this ordinance, what it would add to the cost of housing?
No, have not. We wouldn't know unless it would take a landscape architect to design it and then put a figure on it.
Right.
I mean, in this era of
specifics, in a
concern
specific
about the economy and affordable housing, just looking at these trees, 6 feet tall, an inch and a half in diameter, that can be a pretty expensive tree. And if you got to put 20 of them every 100 feet on a 22-acre square development, that's 4,000 feet. That's
good add up.
That's a chunk of tree.
Not chunk change. Jim, I got a question. And Lawrence, I've asked you, and I know about. I'm concerned because I asked you that last week. It says 30-foot forested buffer, and I know the description down below says 120 trees for every 100 feet. Now, if I talk to Jim as a lawyer, depends if I like it or don't like it. In layman's terms here, as I explained to you, I take it that we got to have 30 feet of forestry buffer.
Right.
period. But then the description says 20 trees for every 100 feet. So that's even though definition. The 30 feet is there, if I got 20 trees for every 100 feet, that's all I need? Or do I need 30 feet of 20 trees at 100 feet?
Well, I think the thought would be that with a 30-foot width, that would give you a certain number. If you were talking about new trees being installed, this does allow for existing trees to be part of the plan. But if you were talking about a boundary where there were no trees and they were all going to be installed, I think that width would allow a certain number of rows of trees that the thought was that would fill it in pretty well. So right. That it would provide some...
So you're saying that if I had 15 feet of trees on existing property on a 30-foot buffer and that XYZ trees were in there, that's all, I don't need to add any more?
Well, provided there was a proper mix of deciduous trees and evergreen trees. And
so we might have to tear some out or replant.
You might have to
add two.
No, you don't have to tear out. You can add.
You might have to supplement something.
You could do something. Lawrence, most of the subdivisions we're seeing, the planned communities and everything, they're buffering and putting up trees and planning areas similar to this already, correct? I mean, so.
I looked at one the other day that actually put up. The rail fence down the center, and then staggered evergreens on each side of the fence, back and forth in a stagger, and then they filled in the same spot on the opposite side of the fence with a deciduous and did the same thing.
Yeah.
That's probably
but the ordinance today does not, if it, the ordinance...
Ordinance has, today doesn't give you a specific 20 trees per 100
right.
feet.
But also doesn't it, if it butts up against ag, it's exempt? Or if
it butts up against ags when you put it in.
Yeah, we're protecting ag.
That's when you.
That's
install.
What it reads today.
That's when you install, right?
But now this ordinance says no matter who you butt up against, you'll have 30 feet.
Right. If you have a subdivision that's existing that has a 30-foot buffer, and you want to subdivide, you put in another 30-foot buffer, and you end up with 60-foot of buffer between two projects.
Right. That's one of the major differences of what we're talking here.
But Finley,
besides the description of the described description of the trees.
And what happens is the person that developed the first one put a buffer in, and then the second development comes in, and they don't have to put in a buffer because it's next door to a residential subdivision now. Then the
right,
first
because
one
the other guy, the other guy,
already
got
in.
Yeah, it makes fair, but also Finley, it
still
adds
has
in.
To have a 30-foot buffer. Does it still have to have a 30-foot buffer now?
No.
I mean. If one guy has 30 foot, the other guy can bring
ordinance.
They can bring his within setback?
Under proposed ordinance, it would be required. Under the existing ordinance, it would not be. If it's
half
a subdivision.
Doesn't have any, yeah. Finley, it would also be something they can calculate in this in their open space, which they have to do anyway.
Be gone.
Right.
So it all falls into what they do and what it does.
That stormwater management is taken out in some of those things now. Is that correct?
Right. That's right.
Right. I mean, it's
right. Which was in the original one.
Which wasn't really.
Which was,
wasn't real clear.
Right. I do understand that part. Right.
But it fulfills
the,
that.
The commission, in their review of the original from November, supported this ordinance wholeheartedly.
Right. But they didn't have anybody show up.
No. It was based on just what they had. They had. In their own discussion, because there wasn't no participation at all.
Where we had people here.
Yeah, some show up. I missed that here.
Yeah, but I don't think that was an issue, though, was it, Finley?
What's that?
That wasn't brought up. If people were here, that wasn't an issue.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at some of the written comments we had, they were talking about, even though this is a subdivision ordinance that talked about, I know Brett Iacocca talked some about different zonings, different, you know, cluster versus, you know, that. This is a one-fit-all type where it probably shouldn't be.
That's the way we write most all of our ordinances.
We have to almost, yeah.
No,
and it covers countywide and all situations.
Yeah. I mean, when you have, when your cluster, what is it, 40% open space?
30, basically.
So if you got 30% open space, you know, sometimes it might, behold, that if all the houses are away from, you know.
So we're going back to debating that issue now again?
No, I'm just saying some of the written comments that we got from the public, Mr. Cole,
okay.
That were, you know.
I don't recall them having emphasized. Now, I felt that, I think what I heard was treat everybody as the same as much as we've had conversations amongst ourselves and my conversations with P&Z commissioners. You know, they felt that the you know, if one guy does it, they all ought to do it. And there's other benefits that are accrued from it because we have done that with the wildlife corridors. We could actually, the forested areas now could link up a little bit. So there's, you know, anyway, just there's so many advantages. So I don't know why we should be going back to debating that again at this point.
Okay.
Dale and Finley are looking at each other. If we're going to do something with it, let's do it and quit talking about it. And if you're going to try to change it.
Can I cut through the chase?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Go ahead, you got it.
We're wasting a lot of time on a proposed ordinance that's got a lot of flaws into it. I was here when Mr. George Collins was here, and he brought this up because we get a lot of complaints on agricultural use of budding subdivisions. People moving down here and saying, oh, I didn't know that farmers created dust. I didn't know they created chemicals and all that. So we created a 30-foot buffer that abutted agriculture. And if I'm permitted to take some words from Mr. Phillips, the government is far-reaching, and that's what we're doing here. Now we've got a 30-foot buffer that's been established for many, many years, and all of a sudden we want more. We want to add another 30-foot, so now you got a 60-foot buffer. We've never calculated what the cost of that buffer is going to be. You know, you can if they want, if that 30 additional 30-foot buffer enhances your subdivision so much, you voluntarily can put it in. You can put in any kind of, you can put a 100-foot buffer if you want to. I don't think government needs to mandate that you got to put another 30-foot buffer in there. We got an MPHU program. To me, this is going right against that. We're adding the additional cost to the lots, to the buffer, for a buffer. And when you already have a 30-foot buffer, I think it's a waste of land to put another 30-foot buffer against it. I just think that it's we're wasting time on something that's probably not going to fly, and I think this thing's got some problems that we need to address. Like I say, they voluntarily can do it. They don't need to us to mandate it. And there's other things that in here that I've read this thing. I read through it and read through it. I think we need to be concerned about the cost of what the buffer is going to cost. You got four lots, and you got to put a buffer up. And so what's that going to cost per lot to add an additional 30-foot buffer? My comments.
Any other comments?
Let's vote.
Okay.
It's a shame it's been dragged out as long as it has. If this is the... I thought we were moving along with consensus. Gentlemen, if we're not moving along with consensus, let us know early on. It's a shame to waste our staff's time and even my time or Mr. Rogers' time and all these other things.
Mr. Cole, if you'll remember, go back in a minute to read the, or listen to the tape. 2 weeks ago, I said, gentlemen, it's a waste of...
But there was no consensus, Dale, to stop at that point.
To put an additional 30-foot buffer in there, and I guess it fell on deaf ears.
I'm asking that if there's we should have consensuses from now on and speak up because we have wasted a lot of time.
I spoke up.
Okay.
I'm not pointing out to you, Dale, personally. This is not an attack on you. I'm saying the council needs to get to these consensuses early on. So if two or three of you would speak up. If you don't like what we're doing, we ought to do it.
I tried to have a workshop twice. Everybody wanted to haul Heine and get out of here, and the other time, we didn't.
You have the ability to schedule one any time. If we thought there was controversy, there was consensus,
Mr.
Jones,
Cole,
to get
you were
this.
The worst pitcher of the time.
Wait.
About getting out.
There was a consensus.
We're wasting our time. Let's get out of here.
It's difficult, but you don't get this far unless there's some consensus,
Mr. Griffith,
gentlemen.
Would like to read the title, please?
Read the title.
Sure.
I like that one, Bill.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Articles 1, 3, 4, and 5 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and or landscape buffers, site plans, and bonding requirements, and to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, Article 3, to amend a provision allowing council to require a forested and or landscape buffer for conditional uses in residential planned communities of single-family or multifamily dwellings.
Okay, not yet. He read the motion, but, I mean, he read the title. But what I thought, if we'd voted on this 2 weeks ago, I thought it would have passed. What does it take to get, we've taken it this far. How much more calculation does it take to find out what it costs to do it? Because in my area, a lot of people want it. And the concern is that is this present time with the market the way it is flat, we're back to basically the contractors that built homes before the gold rush of 2003, 2004, and 2005.
Right.
it's not them people that over-densified these parcels and put houses right up next to the lines and just packed the density in these parcels. And, you know, we all, the very first day we discussed this, somebody up here said that what this is going to do is call for a few less homes to get this achieved. And we were talking about down the side and across the back and not the front. I think Mr. Cole said that day. And we had some good input from the public at the hearing. But I hate to see this go down in flames because I don't know what the part of it is that if you just got, how much more money is it going to cost?
Well, is it?
I think if you look at the sales, Mr. Deuce, it seems that.
But if we don't mandate this for these out-of-state companies, well,
how about this?
That come
I think
in
Dale's
here.
Problem was the number. I heard you say Dale. It was four lots. It seems to be a very hard lots on somebody with small lots. What number of lots could you live with for this something to kick in?
I don't know what the cost is. We haven't got
any. We never do. We've never done that before. Cost analysis on any of our ordinances. Now that's a smokescreen. I hate to say it on this issue today. But
and I'll make a motion we approve the ordinance.
Second.
All right. I'll just railroad it through like usual.
I'm not. It's no smokescreen, Mr. Cole. I think we.
No, it is. You have never asked for a cost analysis of anything, ever, as long as you've sat here. So all of a sudden today, you want a cost analysis, and if it's a number of units, if it has an impact on four, I agree with you. I can agree with you. But if, without any kind of, you know.
It's a major four houses. Is that what it is, four houses?
No, you know, he's just dead set against it now.
I think.
No, but I'm just saying a major is four houses.
Major is four. It would be anything with a street, but it specifically applies to four lots as a major.
Right.
Four strip lots along public road wouldn't. Can't.
They've just made up their minds. We're wasting our time. They've made up their minds. They don't want to do anything. It's typical.
I don't
do nothing.
Mr. Cole, I don't think that
What is your problem with it then? That we can't overcome.
I think the 30 foot, the way it is not defined, that in your opinion or my opinion, it could be two different things. It could say 100 feet. I've asked this question for the last 3 weeks about that. For the four lots is an issue. Because of
the size, it's just
they talk about buffers in the front versus nothing, you know.
All right, that's right.
I don't think it should be a dead issue, but I don't think.
Well, you're making it a dead issue.
Okay.
Well, if it voted down, it is a dead issue.
Yeah, we got nothing again.
I mean, we're close to getting
that. Something on the books, but it's not.
There's what we have on.
I think the question is.
We don't have a definition of what we have on the books, right?
If the subdivision major is four homes, that may be a bit small to apply this buffer ordinance to.
That's what the proposed ordinance says.
And how can we?
Well, Dan, we can agree. There's probably some agreement to that.
Yeah, and I agree.
If that is your issue, but I don't believe that's your issue.
That's the first time I've heard that this morning.
No, that is his issue. That's his issue. It's too small to apply to four homes.
Okay, but we've gotten as a consensus to get our staff to get it in this final form. There wasn't seem to be a consensus enough to address it. We can address it. Can we address that today, Mr. Attorney?
If they remove their second in their motion.
Wait, let me just ask, is that something we could address today? The number of
if I had some idea of what you were.
Well, a number of a different number than four.
Well, you could up the number of lots.
And that's actually less than
that. That's less
required. Or right. You could put in some percentage that it would not apply to a subdivision where the land area to be consumed by the buffer would take up more than X percent of the entire land area of the development. You could do either way.
That makes sense.
I mean, there's ways to get over it, but I thought we're sitting here like Mr. Rogers. I thought we were pretty much done with it and had it to a point where it could be a. Supported.
Would you all consider doing that?
I think this thing is so far from where it started. I mean, as is typical in government, you start out with a noble idea, and you just put layer upon layer upon layer.
What has been added?
But they're weakening it now. They're going to weaken it.
You know, what is the goal? Is the goal to hide one development from the other?
Well, that's what you want.
And is that goal... Is that goal worth the added cost to housing?
It's
not a smokescreen.
Yes, it is, Mr.
I mean,
if you
were a first-time home builder, a buyer, and you had to pay an extra several thousand dollars just so that you can see more trees between you and the other development that already has a buffer between it,
you were a proponent of screening.
From the road.
You were a proponent.
From the road.
Okay.
But to put buffers next to a development that has already buffered, I just don't understand what the goal is.
Okay.
I agree. That's where it started. I felt like we needed to protect the viewscape from the passing public on the road.
You just changed.
But now we've gone to creating an ordinance, which is just planting trees next to trees that already exist. It just doesn't make sense. And if you have a evergreen stand of trees,
they can cut it down now.
you've got to somehow insert deciduous trees within those evergreens. So to create your buffer, you're going to have to actually cut down a percentage of trees so that you can replant. I mean,
how's it addressed the existing trees?
Don't say that.
There's no requirement for deciduous trees.
If there's an existing trees, they can just leave them.
Yeah, for landscaping.
There you go.
It doesn't require you to cut things out.
You just have to add more.
If you have a dense layer of evergreen trees, planting a deciduous tree under that canopy is not going to work.
I think. Section D on page two talks about landscape plan may include suitable existing deciduous and evergreen trees, common local species, provided they achieve the overall goal of the plan, which is field of views, basically.
70,
I think that as long as, you know, they take a look at it and it's, you know, forested. If it's forested now,
what strikes me is how Lawrence admits that it's already being done. I mean, the system seems to be working. We have one case that apparently was a problem that started this whole thing, and now we're going to create this all-encompassing ordinance that's going to affect the cost of housing. That's going to affect the process tremendously. When it's already, in most cases, it sounds like, is already being taken care of.
Well, in an earlier variation of this ordinance, it was not required to be installed along a boundary where an existing buffer area existed.
Right.
But then there, I was asked to make it apply to all boundaries.
It got changed to go into an entirety. It went from one side to an entirety.
There was nothing that directed. At that day, the consensus was to do that, Mr. Jones. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten this far.
It might have been a consensus, but I never agreed to it.
Okay. Well, that was another day. Today, we don't have a consensus, obviously. Is there a definition? If this one included the definition, or do we have the definition of a buffer somewhere else? Is this the one that includes the?
What's that? What you have in front of you?
Very first page. Well, the second page, the first page of text of the ordinance, other than the whereas and wherefore, the definition.
Okay, if this
and or landscape.
Okay, without this ordinance currently, do we have any kind of definition anywhere else of a buffer?
It's minimal.
Okay, we don't. Okay, this was actually.
There is a definition, but it's minimal compared to this, and it just said forested buffer strip.
Right. This actually. That was the problem you all have had, where people come and say, you know, we got a buffer, and it wasn't any clear. Anyway, this was giving us a definition, so we're back to a gray area where we don't have the.
If you look at
if you just put the definition into the existing the subdivision ordinance, that would give you some of the problem along with stormwater management.
Definition present basically in front of you. It's a portion that's not underlined or not bracketed to be taken out.
Right.
So it's a lot shorter. Basically, the strip of land not less than 30 feet in width, exclusive of any residential lots. And located along the outer perimeter of any portion of a major subdivision, et cetera.
Yeah, that gave us our definition.
The underlined is added, and then the bracketed part comes out. So we added quite a bit to that paragraph.
Right.
And the other thing is that an individual developer would have the right to ask for a waiver in that requirement if there's a concern that there's full coverage of the 30-foot buffer by existing vegetation, and they don't want to disturb it, or they don't want to add additional deciduous trees and evergreen stands. So there is a method.
The message will be sent, gentlemen, that this council still is not taking seriously, you know, environmental concerns that the public wants us to take into consideration. And I think you're being short-sighted. I don't think it's going to come out to help this. Improve what we got, the quality of life.
I think we're close on everything but a couple issues that concern the consensus. Now, I think that Mr. Griffin and Mr. Lang worked that out.
No, I don't. I think they're dead set not to do anything. So I don't. I think we'd be wasting our time.
I wish Mr. Dixon would withdraw his motion just to let him just try to tweak this thing a little bit more. I think we're very close.
Sounds like Mr. Dukes is concerned about the number, the cost impact, and possibly making this applicable only to larger developments.
That and the concern
Mr. Phillips is concerned.
Right. Larger developments can absorb the cost easier.
Do we need it all the way around? You know, we already have it for ag, and if we have it for ag and the roadway with the planning and zoning making decisions about it, well, I don't know if that might be.
You know, and I think that can be done without making a change because you're actually loosening it up.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if we still have an effort. That's my concern. Yeah.
We're wasting. I think we're wasting.
Consider that, Mr. Dukes.
I've been here too long. I think we're wasting.
Okay, I mean, Mr. Dukes, go ahead. Mr. Dukes.
I mean, if we vote this thing down today, which I've been here long enough can tell, I think I know how we're going to vote. Then we're going to have to start all over again, go back through public hearing, come back through planning zoning again, is that correct? And bring it all the way back up again. I don't have a problem with a lot of the ordinance. I think I stated my reasons a while ago. I think that the cost is, of course, I can't say that because I don't know what the cost is going to be. Yeah. But I think we need to find that out. And I can't sit here this morning and say how many lots should be, you should go before this ordinance or this buffer kicks in. I mean, I think the four, and I think it's unanimous here this morning that everybody agrees that four is too small. I think it should be. I don't have a problem in passing a buffer ordinance, but I don't like this one. I think it's too restrictive. I think it's going to be too expensive. And
so would you withdraw your?
You know, with butting it against another buffer, as I said before, that being repetitive, I don't have a problem with agriculture. But I think those things, and Mr. Jones, Mr. Phillips has some other problems with it. I think without reworking this thing, it's definitely going down this morning. We need to. I don't have a problem withdrawing the motion and.
Right. Workshop.
Do I need to withdraw mine first, Mr. Griffin?
Well, or we can just go ahead and vote on it, and if we.
No, that turns it down.
You would withdraw your second.
Okay.
If that's what you intend to do.
You would consider that.
Well, still, I think that we need to get some kind of an. I mean, how are we going to? Are we going to sit here and just say, "Oh, I got 25 lots"? I mean, I don't know how to set that number.
Look, the problem.
They're finding a cost on it.
The problem is no individual councilman is working this to the other councilman, and I don't know if that violates some kind of sunshine law or not. But when we pass some ordinances in the past that do some pretty radical things, whether it's the density trade or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of personal contact going on, trying to find out what the needs of the various councilmen are. Mr. Cole doesn't have standing to communicate with the other councilmen to try to find out what their concerns are. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah,
so he brings it here to council,
an open
session, and it's just this giant argument that takes place. I mean, if somebody really feels passionate about this.
So you'd rather have things done in a back room as opposed to in front of the public so people know. Well, that's fine. That's a difference in you and I. I would rather have conversations here so people know where you stand and I stand. But to make it sound that I have no standing because you and I don't agree, you were an advocate of it a couple of versions ago.
Mr. President, I think
an advocate of an issue needs to take responsibility for it and work with their fellow councilman. Disparaging them in the public session gets you nowhere.
What have I said?
The entire process has been nothing.
We have moved to this point with consensus building at this table. Now it's turned around today because we didn't have any backroom discussions. Well, that's your opinion.
Okay, can we move on here, Mr. President?
I'm waiting for Mr. Phillips.
To
if he
was second, so we
withdraws
discuss
the
this
second,
a little
Mr. Dukes withdraws the motion, then we would, I guess... Go back square one again.
No, I think we're close to getting the things adjusted. That
I can't believe a buffer zone is so controversial with Mr. Phillips.
Well, anyway, I think there's some valid concerns that our colleagues have here about the amount of homes, the possible vegetation on both sides if it don't exist on one, but it still gives that footage of the footage. But I think we're close with that. As Mr. Dukes alluded to, if we do shoot this thing down, it's going to start completely back over for again, and we know with our agenda how long that would take, and it wouldn't probably even happen. So I would ask that we just continue the dialogue to try to come to a consensus or agreement
that
okay, well,
of some type.
According to Mr. Cole, we shouldn't dialogue out of public session, so we need to have a workshop.
Right.
Well, we can do that. I don't care about that. We can talk one-on-one legally, but, I mean, we just can't all get together as a group and talk.
No, of course not.
But I think that there's some validity to this thing. That's why we brought it up to start with. And I think that we need further discussion.
I would like to ask, if you do end up withdrawing this motion to act on it today, and you intend to obtain some type of economic analysis before you proceed further, it would be better to do that than have me start drafting again.
Well,
at least it keeps the dialogue going, I think. And that answers one of the questions. We got size, we got price, we got already vegetated or not vegetated. There's like three issues here that concern the ones I'll be hearing. I think we can get the answers to that.
Well, let's see. Well, first of all, we got to get the motion off the floor and then we can go.
Well, bottom line is, it's the quality of life in this county is not going to end tomorrow if we defeat this ordinance. I mean,
but I think we're
the Planning and Zoning Commissioner or Director said that most developments are already doing it. We're trying to create, to ensconce something in the code that will be a hammer over everybody. When really, it's already happening in most of the cases.
And I agree with that. I agree with that.
Volunteer to do it.
But the thing is, when you ask volunteers to do it, the good ones do it, and the ones that come in here to do major stuff don't do it. And that's the concern I got. The big guys that come in here, and we're not talking about four lots, we're talking about major projects that come in here. You got good ones, but you got some that push the envelope, and they will not volunteer. And if you have a set of guidelines to go by, they'll go by it. If you don't have it, they'll do what they want. My concern is that we need something in place. We're very close to getting it, and I think we can answer the concerns that you all have here by some more discussion without killing it. And if it goes down in flames, we got to re-advertise. I just think that's shouldn't be done. I think we should just continue to discuss this thing and tweak it and get it done.
If we could, I can work with Mr. Lank and Planning and Zoning and try to come up with an economic analysis and try to and see what we can, Mr. Griffin, to try to address some of these issues and maybe present different options at a workshop, and then
I think that's
decide on, like Mr. Rogers brought up one item today, and just go through them one by one if you'd like.
Could you take Mr. Lank, find maybe a 20 lot subdivision that you've got, maybe a 50 lot subdivision or something, and give it to a certified planner to get him to run a cost up, what a buffer would cost to put
we
that
We might
in.
Be able to get an estimate from the Department of Ag, because they basically review the plans for us.
Okay. I'd like to see what it is for maybe 10, 25, and 50. And then I think we'd be more ready to plug a number in there.
Couldn't you just figure out 30 foot wide, 100 feet would cost X amount of dollars if you followed the...
So it doesn't matter.
How many lots it is. Then you just figure out in your mind.
It doesn't have to be 30 feet.
Huh?
It doesn't have to be 30 feet.
Well, that's what we've been talking about, unless we're going to change that number now, too.
A 1,000 by 1,000 development is about 22 and a half acres. So that's going to be 4,000 linear feet. And if you're talking about 20 per 100 feet, that's 40 times... 20, it's 800 trees, and are 800 trees of that size and diameter planted $50 each, $100 each? I mean, they're significant because that's a big tree. So you may be talking between $40,000 and $80,000 for a 22-acre subdivision. Maybe they get 15 units in there.
And that's the price of the tree, not the installation.
22 acres
also.
Get 15 units. Where's that?
Major subdivision. Once you take away roads,
22.5%.
Yeah, it comes out to about 25.
Yep.
Wait, they get the density count.
So my point is, right there, if you're talking about, 800 trees at $100 a tree installed and all that, there's $80,000, even on 20 lots, would be $4,000 additional cost per unit. I mean, for a first-time home buyer, $4,000's a lot of money.
Question. What difference does it make, I guess, just running through my head? What the cost is if we don't require it, a buffer backing up to another buffer. What difference does it make? What the cost is if it's a subdivision that's budding to agriculture, he's got to do it anyhow. If we strike the buffer against another buffer, then cost won't make any difference.
No, you're right. That would certainly
get a bigger buffer.
Yeah.
And that's something to
discuss. Pardon?
End up with a bigger buffer.
That's fine, but I mean, end up with talking about the trees.
If you're not going to require it.
Not going to require it.
I'm just trying to get where you come from.
I mean, that would save having to do cost analysis on these. If there's a consensus, there's a consensus not to put a buffer against a buffer.
Okay, now we don't need a cost analysis?
Let's turn this into a workshop. Can we remove the second and continue to discuss this later? I mean,
okay, I'm just waiting. I'm in the whole pattern. I'm just waiting for somebody.
Mr. Phillips, you have the hammer.
Say yes, and then Mr. Duke say yes, that's okay, and then we can move it to a workshop.
Withdraw? Yeah, I'll withdraw.
I'll withdraw my motion, and I make another motion that we have a workshop.
Get some landscape architects in here with some numbers.
Okay. Do it on a Tuesday afternoon after we've had a morning session without anything, and when an afternoon's empty.
Have a morning session.
Can you give us a little bit of time on this, though? Because
The
land use plan and the budget and whatnot,
we've all heard comments from
everybody.
And we need to go back to those people and tell them, if you want input, we're going to hold a workshop and give you an opportunity to speak.
And can we do that? If we choose to let them speak, Jim, we can. Is that correct?
Well, if you're going to do that, you'd need to change it from something other than a workshop.
It's a public hearing, then.
Public workshop.
You'd have to know how you're going to advertise it, because if you just advertise it as a workshop, that doesn't necessarily imply...
Traditionally, we don't let anybody speak.
Find out in this workshop?
To tweak what their concerns are to see if we can keep...
Well, they don't need a cost analysis now, I think, if Mr. Duke says that this one thing struck, right?
Absolutely.
If you don't require a buffer against a buffer, you don't need a cost analysis.
But then why don't we pull that out today and try to adopt this thing?
I would beg to question that, because the buffer we're talking about today is a lot different than the buffer that we're talking about currently in ag district.
You want to estimate what it would cost to do a buffer, period.
I mean, right now you can plant...
whether it's next to one or not.
We don't have a definition of buffer zone, so you can plant anything you want.
Right.
You want to know what it costs. Deciduous versus evergreen. On the regulation.
Okay, now we do want
to... That's a motion by Mr. Dukes. Is there a second?
Get a cost analysis first, David.
Sometimes. Okay.
Is there a second to it?
Yes. Some morning that we're not busy.
Yeah, we can do that.
We're going to do 8 o'clock.
When do we start? Morning? We can start at 9 o'clock or 8? Yeah.
There you go.
9 o'clock, an hour, we'll never do it. I can tell
8
you
o'clock.
That,
no, we can go right on.
We've just blown almost an hour and a half just on this.
Okay,
make it so we have in the afternoon and make a serve dinner. Okay, it's been moved to second that we move this the forestry buffer into a workshop. And if we do it and want comments from the public, we'll have to advertise accordingly and change the name to public workshop, and we'll determine.
Well, you just put it on the agenda that public input will be accepted, allowed.
Yeah. Okay.
How does that affect the ordinance in play? Just curious.
Still,
the ordinance.
The direction would be their
problem. The record's already been closed, so what do you do in that situation?
The one that we have in front of us here?
Well, we can discuss that. We're going to do a workshop.
Right.
We can make a motion to open it back up again. We've done it before.
I don't want you to get into a legal problem.
That's right. The record has been closed.
Can we make a motion to open the record again?
Well, if you can close it, I think you could open it.
Yeah, I can hear you anything as long as you don't get caught, I guess.
In the Cape Gazette, with 3 votes, we can do anything we want.
Okay, gentlemen, we have...
I motion to have a workshop of some type.
We're going to have a workshop of some type, and I'll I'll get with Jim and Dave, and we'll figure out what legally we're going to do and what we can before we put it on the agenda. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
Or Jim, you want to think about it?
Should we open it up now?
I mean, if you're saying that you may reopen the public record and you want to give the public notice of that, seems to me that that's
the public
one thing you could do today is reopen the public record. People could start to give you input.
I move we reopen the public record.
But you got one motion on the floor.
We got a motion on the floor.
Well, you can incorporate. I remove my second. He can make a motion and incorporate in his motion.
I'm amending your motion.
He can do that. Under Mason's law, that's allowed.
Okay. Yeah, he can amend it. amended that we open the public record on forestry buffer.
Are you happy?
Well, he accepted the amendment.
You're wasting our time.
Is there a second to that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I guess we'll vote on the amendment first to open the record. To receive comments on forestry buffer, Mr. Cole.
Mr. Cole, vote yes.
Yes.
Thank you for helping him out. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Roger?
I've been doing CPR on this thing for the last half hour, yes.
Yes, okay. Now I'm voting on the motion to set up, it would be a workshop slash public, Jim, or how, or just set up?
No, or have a workshop of some type and open the public record for comment.
Well, the record's open.
Okay, the record's open. And have a workshop for
the sensible one again.
The forestry buffer, Mr. Cole.
Yeah.
Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Okay.
Okay.
Better ask for more than 60 days or whatever it is you're asking for that land use plan extension, because this ain't going to happen, not with this group. You can't get consensus from week to week.
What about a quorum?
Now, the land use plan may have be able to do it, but the ordinance might well. Okay, go ahead. Let's try the next one, Lawrence.
Got a quorum?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, let's see.
Second item.